Like this morning to turn to the book of 2 Kings, book of 2 Kings, chapter 13, and we'll read verses 14 through verse 20. 2 Kings, chapter 13, reading verses 14 through verse 20. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. He put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it, then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground, that is, shoot the arrows into the ground. And he smote thrice or three times and stayed or quit. The man of God was wroth, that is, Elisha, with him, and said, Thou should have smitten five or six times. Then had thou smitten Syria till thou had consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. In these verses, we come upon a notable correspondence between one king by the name of Joash that he had with the prophet Elisha. In these verses, we discover that Joash learns a very valuable lesson on perseverance. Our text tells us that this time Elisha was sick. It was the very sickness that would take his life. We see that Joash came to the king. Joash, the king of Israel, came to Elisha there in verse 14 and wept over him. And he wept because he realized that Elisha was a man who had great influence in the nation and was very important to the well-being of the nation. He said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. So Joash, though Joash was an ungodly king, Joash had enough sense to realize the value a godly man like Elisha. By way of background, we see at this time Israel was at war with Syria. Verses 15 through 17, while Joash was visiting with Elisha, Elisha instructed him to take his bow and his arrows. And Elisha, his God's representative, puts his hand upon the hands of Joash, told Joash to open the window and shoot. And as the arrow is flying through the air, Elisha shouted, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance from Syria. And as he was telling Joash what that arrow represented, Elisha was putting Joash to the test. Now Joash knows exactly what the arrow represents. And Elisha says, Take your arrows and shoot them into the ground. Joash, knowing that however many arrows he shot, that's how many victories the Lord would give him over the Syrians. Joash shot 3 arrows and quit. He had 5 or 6 arrows because Elisha told him, you should have shot 5 or 6 arrows. But Joash, knowing that each arrow represented a victory that the Lord would give him, shot 3 times and quit. He quit too soon. He stopped short. And how often God's people do the same. We quit too soon and we stop short. Again, Elisha said, you should have shot 5 or 6 times. Joash had the ability to shoot that many arrows. And he had the opportunity to shoot that many arrows. But he shot 3. And then he quit. He could have shot more arrows. But he shot 3. And he quit. Because he thought that 3 would be sufficient. Certainly I will not need more than 3 victories. So he stopped. The message of God was, again, as many arrows as you shoot, that's how many victories you will have. Joash shot 3 and quit. Joash was slack. Joash was half-hearted. And he quit. He stopped before he should have shot, before he should have stopped. He could have had more victories. But seemingly he was content with 3. So he quit. And what he did that day not only had an effect upon him, but would have an effect upon the entire nation. Just like Joash, we have opportunities, and our opportunities have a far more reaching impact than we realize. And how often we quit too soon. How often we stop short. How often we are content with less than what God has for us. And that was the case here with Joash. I want to speak this morning on the subject of shoot. That's what Elisha said to Joash. He said, open the window and shoot. And then after he shot the arrow, Elisha announced what the arrow represented. He said, now smite the ground with the arrows, or shoot the arrows into the ground. But there are 3 very important truths that we need to grasp in these verses, that we need to apply to our lives. The first is seen in the fact that Joash went to the right source of power. He had a need, and he went to the right source of power. He needed help, and he went to the right source of power. We need to learn that. We have a need. We need help. And we need to go to the right source of power. We need to go to the Lord. Now, Joash went to Elisha, who was God's representative upon earth. But Joash went to the right source of power. And if we want victory in our lives, and if we want to accomplish spiritual things, then we need to recognize our needs, we need to recognize that we need help, and we need to go to the right source of power. And that is the Lord. So that's one lesson that we learn. Secondly, we see that Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. That is, Elisha put his hand upon the hands of Joash. That is, Joash allowed himself to be guided. We need to go to the right source of power. And then we need to allow ourselves to be guided. You see, a lot of times we go to the right source of power, but then we do not allow ourselves to be guided by that power. Well, what's the point in even going to the right source of power if you do not submit to the guidance of that power? So that's lesson number two. Submit to the guiding hand of the Lord. And lesson number three is where Joash failed miserably. There has to be perseverance. Elisha said, shoot. Smite the ground. And Joash shot three times and quit. He did not persevere. As we enter into another year, 2009, we need to each take spiritual inventory. We need to take a spiritual inventory upon our lives. We need to reflect upon our spiritual condition. We need to carefully weigh, we need to carefully examine where we are spiritually. We're not all at the same place, but we're all someplace spiritually. So where are you spiritually? What is the condition of your heart? We need to consider the seriousness of the life that God has made us responsible to live. God has given us a life, and we have the responsibility to live that life. And we need to realize the seriousness of that responsibility. As we enter another year, you need to ask yourself where you are spiritually. But you also need to ask yourself, how far do you want to go? How far do you want to go spiritually? As we embark upon another year, how near to the Lord are you? And how near to the Lord do you want to be? Because we all have some desire. How near do we want to be? How close do we want to be? We ought to want more spiritually. As we go into another year, we ought to want as many victories as we can possibly have. That's how many we ought to have, want. Joash was content with three. Are you content with just a few? Are you content with a victory here, every now and then, here and there? How many victories do we want? Again, it should be as many as God has for us. As many as possible. As we embark upon a new year, we need to realize that we have many spiritual opportunities. And we need to commit. And we need to dedicate ourselves every day to our spiritual life. How much today are you willing to commit to your spiritual life? How much are you willing to dedicate yourself to your spiritual life? And this is a daily commitment, a daily dedication. We need to take spiritual inventory. And we must not be content with anything less than God's best for us. We must not stop short. We must not be slack in this matter. So as we consider these things, remember these three lessons. Go to the right source of power. Allow yourself to be guided by the hand of God. And then don't quit. Persevere. Keep going. So we want to look at several areas of our life. And then again, remember those three things. Because that is how you're going to accomplish what you need to accomplish spiritually. First of all, we need to evaluate our relationship with the Lord. Every one of us here need to evaluate our relationship with the Lord. Because I believe every day I have the opportunity to have a greater, a deeper, a stronger, a closer, and a more meaningful relationship with the Lord. I believe God gives me that opportunity every day. And I believe He gives you that opportunity every day. The question is, what do we do with the opportunity? What we need to do is go to the right source of power. We need to submit to His guiding hand. We need to follow His direction. We need to persevere. We must not stop short. God gives us opportunity for a greater relationship with the Lord, and we take a step or two toward that, and then we quit. We stop short, and we rob ourselves of something wonderful. We need to commit. We need to dedicate ourselves to a deeper relationship with the Lord. We need to ask God to help us. Submit to His guiding hand. And then you do what God tells you to do and you don't stop. You don't stop short. You persevere. Well, I got a headache today and I've got this and I've got that and I've got this responsibility and that responsibility. Don't stop short. Of taking care of your spiritual life. We all pay dearly when we stop short of taking care of ourselves spiritually. Evaluate your time alone with God, which goes hand in hand with your relationship to the Lord. Every day, I have opportunity to spend time with God. That's true of every one of us. No matter what's going on in our lives, every day I have opportunity to spend time alone with God. How often do you spend time alone with the Lord? How important is it to you to spend time alone with the Lord? He gives us that opportunity. Don't stop short. Don't take a couple steps and then quit. Seek the right source of power. Allow yourself to be guided by God. And spend time alone with God. Along these same lines is evaluate your prayer life. Every day, I have opportunity to talk to God. every day. I can talk with the Lord. Every day I can listen to what God has to say. Every day I can pour out my heart to God. And every day I can seek His face in prayer. That's our opportunity. That's our privilege. Again, we sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And yet there'd be some, if they added up all the time they spend in a year, it wouldn't equal an hour. How sad. Or a week. They sing Sweet Hour of Prayer and they don't know a thing about it. But it is sweet. Days of joy. And there will be days of joy and days of sorrow. And there will be days of sorrow. I can pray. In days of victory and days of defeat, I can pray. In days when God is showering His blessings down, in days of trials and days of affliction, we can pray. In days of health, we can pray. In days of sickness, in days when our loved ones are healthy, and in days when our loved ones are sick, we can pray. How much time do we spend in prayer? In times when we're weak, you can pray, or you can quit. Oh, I'm tired, I don't feel like doing this, I don't feel like doing that. Pray! Pray in times of weakness. That's our opportunity. Don't stop short. Pray. In times of temptation, pray. Let us never be slack in praying. Let us never stop short in praying. We have much to pray about. We have many to pray for. We can't afford to be slack in the matter of prayer. And is it not hypocritical to ask for others to pray for you if you do not pray for others? We need to pray for one another. We live in the last days. We live in difficult times. We all have needs. We all have burdens. We all have problems. We all have temptations. We're all under attack by the devil. We need to pray for one another. We cannot be slack in this matter. We can't just do it every now and then quit. We have to pray. Continually. We need to commit ourselves. We need to dedicate ourselves to prayer. Commit and dedicate ourselves to pray for one another. Again, God is our source of power. Submit to His guiding hand and persevere in the matter of prayer. And the Lord teaches us in the New Testament, to persevere in prayer, to continue in praying, to not to faint when we pray. That is, don't stop short. Keep praying. Evaluate the place that God's Word has in your life. God's Word has a place in our life. Every single day you and I do something with God's Word. We read it or we don't. We study it or we don't. But every day you do something with the Word of God. And every day God gives me the ability, the opportunity to read it. And if I'm in a coma tomorrow, then you come and read it to me. If I'm not able to read it for myself, then you come and read it to me. You say, well, you won't hear it. Even if I don't, I believe I will. But even if I don't, it won't hurt you to read it. So you read it to me. But every day we have opportunity. Every day we have opportunity to read and to study and to search the Word of God. We have opportunity to draw from the Word of God. We have opportunity to feed upon the Word of God. But how often, like Joash, we quit too soon. You read a few verses and you get rushed for time and you just stop too soon if you would have just read a few words further. How often that has happened? We stop short. Evaluate your worship to the Lord. Every day, I have reason to bow to God in worship. That's true of everyone here today. No matter what your circumstances, you have reason to bow to God in worship. We must not stop short. We must take the time every day to humble ourselves enough to bow in adoration and submission to God. To thank Him. We ought to thank Him every day. We ought to thank Him several times through the day. When was the last time that you really got serious about just thanking the Lord? We're to be thankful in all things. Not just what we think is good, but all things. We ought to thank Him that He knows what He's doing. If you can't understand it, you just thank God for the fact that He knows what He's doing. Need to praise Him. Then, of course, there are special times set aside for the church to assemble in the spirit of worship when we have the opportunity to sing praise to God and to be fed from His Word. We must not stop short. Joash had opportunity. He could have shot more arrows, but he didn't. We have opportunity to worship God. And many times, we stop short. Some will go as far as walking into the church door, taking their seat in the pew, but something happens and they stop short of worshiping the Lord that day. God help us not to stop short. Not to be slack, not to be half-hearted. The matter of worship. We need to commit and dedicate ourselves to a greater and more meaningful worship of the Lord. We ought to ask God to abundantly bless us in this matter. We ought to seek God's help. And we ought to submit to His guiding hand. And then we must persevere in this matter of worshiping the Lord. Evaluate your love for the Lord. How fervent is your love for the Lord? How intense is your love for the Lord? It should be fervent enough to give Him everything. Not just one day a week. That would be like a husband coming home to his wife saying, honey, I found another woman. I love you dearly. But I found another woman. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend Monday through Saturday with her. But I'll be home for you on Sunday. You think she'd accept it? I don't think so. But that's exactly what God's people do. They talk about how much they love the Lord, and they give the world 6 days, and then they give the Lord a little bit one day. So Some don't even do that. How sad. We must not stop short. How real is your love for the Lord? Is it without reservation? Does it move your heart? Does it move your soul? Does it have some control in your life, making you ready to submit to Him? Does it fill your life with worship? Does it fill your life with meaning? Does it change the way that you live your life? Does it fill you with a yearning and a passion for the Lord? We need to examine our love for the Lord. We cannot be slack in this matter. We cannot be half-hearted in our love for the Lord. Then evaluate and carefully examine your attitude toward spiritual things. Your desires toward spiritual things. Your appetite toward spiritual things. By spiritual things, I mean the Word of God, His worship, His church, prayer, His people. What is your attitude toward spiritual things? How much have you grown spiritually over the past year? Have you grown spiritually? If you've come every service, just on Sunday mornings, you've heard 52 messages this year or last year. What have you done with them? Let's be honest, you've forgotten most of them. If you've come Sunday morning and Sunday night, you've heard 104. And if you add Wednesday, that's 156. But it's not how many we've heard, it's what we have done. What have we done? Or maybe more importantly, what has those messages done to us? Have they had an effect upon our lives? Or are we just biding our time until the Lord calls us home? So we need to examine our spiritual growth. Evaluate your convictions. Do you have convictions? You know what? Our convictions ought to be getting stronger. And we ought to be having more convictions, not less. How many convictions do you have? Evaluate your motives, your willingness. Are you willing to be governed by God alone? Are you willing to do what God commands, whatever it is? Are you willing to go wherever God sins? It comes down to this: how far are you willing to go in the Lord's service? Joash was willing to shoot 3 arrows and then he quit. How far are we willing to go? When someone else looks at our life, does the way we live our life create a thirst for Christ? Does it cause them the desire to have the same life? Does our life illuminate Jesus Christ? Am I investing my life? Am I investing my resources where I'll have treasures upon heaven? Or am I investing my life when I leave here, it's all gone? Which is it? Treasures upon heaven? Treasures in earth? Am I holding unto things that are causing me to treat the things of God lightly? If there's anything in our lives that's hindering us, we need to get rid of it. We need to do something. We need to get it right. How much are we filled with self rather than the Spirit of God? These are all matters of great importance. These are all matters that we cannot afford to be slack. We cannot afford to be half-hearted. We need to commit. We need to dedicate ourselves to having a better attitude, a better spirit toward the things of the Lord. So go to the right source of power. Go to God for help. Submit to His guiding hand. And then persevere in whatever it is that He tells you to do. And expect God to bless. We don't expect God to bless because of who we are. But we can expect God to bless because of who He is. We ought to go to God with great things and expect God to do great things. So we have many opportunities. We have many privileges. What we need to do today is we need to go to the right source of power. And that's God. And then we need to feel His hand upon our hand. We need to submit to His guiding. When God says shoot, you shoot. When God says empty your arrows on the ground, you empty them. You don't stop short. You persevere. You don't quit. You don't give up. You don't give in. We cannot afford to quit. Can't afford it. People all the time will say, lighten up. We don't need to be giving in. Gone this far, it'd be kind of foolish to turn back now. As far as spiritual things are concerned. Commit yourself. Dedicate yourself to taking care of your spiritual life. And whatever it is that God tells you to do, do it with all your heart, with all your soul. Don't stop short. Don't quit. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.